Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Hope you had a great day out there. A sunny Carolina day today. It was so beautiful, just really perfect, for the autumn time. Great to be outside, but, you know, if you're cooped up inside like I was most of the day, it's like, want to be out there. All right, we got a great show, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network and WWCR and other networks. Hey, and Frank, are you ready? Frank was just checking to see if I was ready. I'm trying to be ready, Frank. We're going to talk for the first part of the show, who owns the science? Who owns the science? You want to guess? Frank probably knows. So do you, but we're going to cover some interesting facts here, and we have a quack report, and before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in Acts 17. For in him we live, and we move, and have our being, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's right. So, are you called to according to his purpose? If you don't know, it's time to find out. Seek the Lord's face. Mind time, it grows short. His invitation has an expiration date. So don't be tinkering with procrastination, not with that. He is the only way into the kingdom of God. So seek his face. Get that Bible out. Ask him to help you understand it, and he will. And quickly, and without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, according to Melissa Fleming, she's the United Nations, she's under the Secretary General for Global Communications, she's saying, we own the science. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was at the World Economic Forum, they're kind of bragging there, and she kind of revealed some other things. But we're going to talk about that in a little more detail in the first part of the show. So just remember, who owns the science? Well, they think they do. All right, next up and last but not least in the quack report, the CDC confirms aluminum in vaccines is linked to childhood asthma and autism. Yeah, it's a new study funded by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, confirming aluminum compounds, adjuvants found in childhood vaccines have a link to neurological disorders, including asthma and autism. They also went into some detail about eczema, also in the report. So the authors of the study tried to minimize the link. You know how it is. They want to say it's a causal link. It's not a positive association. They're trying to, you know, not offend the pocketbook. And that would be Big Pharma. But basically, it was the overall evidence just smacked them in the face. They actually, to minimize the data a bit, they didn't have a placebo group, a control group. Now, if you're having a control group, double-blind placebo study, the gold standard in, you know, getting to the truth, well, that's not what they did here. The colleagues in the study looked to see how many vaccines each child received before the age of 2, as well as how much aluminum exposure. And using their data points, they were able to make an assessment of disease risk in correlation with the amount of aluminum they injected into these kids. So 326,991 children that were born between 2008 and 2014 were getting one of seven different sites across the United States that participated in this safety data link experiment. Health providers partnered with the CDC, and researchers gathered the data and looked at the aluminum exposure comparison to even prevalence of eczema. So, well, this is what, you know, some scientists and physicians have been saying for decades. But, of course, they were labeled crazy people, as well as some of the common folk who saw a healthy child go unhealthy in a matter of seconds after getting a vaccine. Yeah. So, you know, they can't all be wrong, can they? Nope. Nope. Mm-mm. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, so who owns the science? We can just gather who it is. Now, yeah, we've been led to believe scientists would conduct these research studies using the gold standard in your research to be able to confirm results and base scientific findings on supposedly proven theories. Well, today this is not the case. We'll get to that in a minute. But I've reported on how corrupt the scientific community has become, and it isn't just the United States. This is a global plague of corruption. So with doctors and patients being ill-informed on treatments, what we can expect is, well, fewer resolutions to illness. That's what we can expect. So this is kind of frustrating to patients and physicians alike, as the drug therapies are really not reliable, and without drugs, doctors have no tools. So we can't blame it on human error and expect, you know, artificial intelligence to fix this. And as I read a lot of medical journal research reports, I've seen an increase in arrogance to the point that what science says should not be questioned. We shouldn't be challenged. Well, this heavy-handed approach has a majority of physicians unwilling to risk their medical license standing up for truth. This is a problem. All right, well, let's look at this UN takeover, because if we read between the lines, we find less and less of a national dominance within research, as most of the research now is shared internationally. Therefore, international authorities like the UN and the WHO are asserting their power over countries, telling them how they should operate. Now, a pastor once told me, he who frames the debate wins the debate. And this can be especially true in our current media environment where censorship is affecting truth. Now, here's an example. This is Melissa Fleming, UN. We own the science and we think the world should know it, and now the platform themselves. Now, what platform is she talking about? Well, she goes on to say, we partnered with Google and started a partnership when we were shocked to see distorted information at the top of the search engines regarding climate change. So we're becoming more proactive. In other words, we're silencing opinion of the research that doesn't agree with theirs. Censorship, big time. So let us not forget what the scriptures warn against, too. Paul warned against fake teachings and that have no basis in truth. So we're to guard the truth and not accept crazy ideas as if it were truth. An example would be accepting there's more than two genders. Here's what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Yeah, so here is another profound statement. This is from a Hungarian immigrant, and he became an American psychiatrist, but he died in 2012. This is Professor of Psychiatry Thomas Szasz at State University of New York, Upstate Medical University, Syracuse. He says, formerly, when religion was strong and science weak, men mistook magic for medicine. Now, when science is strong and religion weak, men mistake medicine for magic. End of quote. Profound indeed. So then we came across some information here in a journal article about your medical records are being forcibly adopted. What did that mean? Well, it's not just the scientific research that world authorities wish to control. Here is this report from Interscience Publishers, April 2008, who asked the question, who owns your medical information? Yeah, who owns the medical information? Not the medical science now, but the medical information. So your medical health data and your tests were in question on who owns them. That's what this journal article was discussing. You know, prior to 2000, questions like this were not even being asked because your medical information was private and it was owned by the patient. Doctors couldn't share it without your permission. So if the patient decided their doctor could share it, they would, you know, sign a medical release. And you may be saying, well, we still have to do that today. But hold on just a moment. Interscience Publishers says this: such personal vexing questions cut into the core of personal liberty and freedom of information. They go on to say, apparently this article was sparked by scientific researchers who wrote a journal article in the International Journal of Healthcare Technology that ownership of medical information and related personal data should be a basic research model for the, quote, adoption of personal health records, end quote. So the researchers are saying we could tap into that database of information and that could help us with our research. It should be our right to do so. Well, the global medical system is beginning. It's giant. It's huge. So here you have, this is where we see medical science. We see where it was going when they asked this question in 2008. And as usual, they promote the stampede over your human rights as something that is in your own best interest and it's for the betterment of society. They will say it, it's your health. They'll say it's your healthcare quality. You're going to make healthcare more affordable. It's going to improve healthcare quality when we do this global database of stuff. So the public has been hearing that excuse really, is what it is, for over 50 years. It's for healthcare quality. It's for healthcare affordability. Make healthcare more affordable, blah, blah, blah. And we've been hearing that crap forever, you know? And healthcare is now not only less affordable, but it's less available to a lot of people. So the U.S. is at the bottom of the global chart for affordable and accessible care. I mean, worldwide. We're dead last. So what all this boils down to is that certain entities want total control over the health data, and part of that is called the United States National Health Information Network. Now, the birthplace of this electronic health record, as we have learned since 2014, this was a big data system. It was engaged around 2014, and there they have records, and there are no records or data systems that aren't connected, 100% secure. And they're saying they're 100% secure. Yeah. Data breaches happen all the time. Okay, here's an example. Who has access? Well, we're told by the HIPAA laws, or the National Standards for Sensitive Patient Health Information, have made your medical records so secure, nothing to worry about, giving the patient a sense of ownership over their records as well. Well, the national scandal of January 2022 and June 2022 with the Department of Health and Human Services for Civil Rights, they were just two recent examples of data breaches and patient data was accessed, unauthorized access. So the reality is that patient data is less secure today. Yeah. So we are talking about organ donor authorizations, physical exams, workers' comp records, your test results, your dental records, your eye exams, consent forms, personal lifestyle information, your rehab records if you have any, your smoker, drinker, and drug user information, as well as exercise and diet records. All in there. Right? Everything in one place. All the eggs in one basket. Not a good deal. Not a good deal. Right? Sort of like those cybersecurity, you know, your financial record thing. You know, put it all in one basket, give us all your information. No. So we're talking about really a gold mine of information on profiling people. See, data is the new currency, in a way. That's where they can sell that information. You're a product they're selling. Here's a quote for the InterScience publishers again. They say, the benefits of adopting secure online information and allowing access to the comprehensive personal health history, comprehensive is the key, which can also be used by your healthcare workers to provide benchmark research information. So they say it could also be used by healthcare workers. Why wouldn't it have been just for healthcare workers? No, it's really for other benchmark research information groups. So at this point in time, I truly believe Americans are kind of used to the convenience of online information, and your healthcare records are now part of that access. So the system has been created, well, it's created a desire for real-time access, claiming the benefits outweigh the risk. And people are just really addicted to online stuff, you know. I mean, I don't have to answer my phone. I don't check it when it beeps. I actually turn that stuff off. I like to detach from technology, but some people just thrive on it. InterScience publisher says this, the ability to create a database is available and the desire and need for patients to utilize the technology is real, but will they come? Now, that's what they said in 2008. Well, that question has already been answered. With more technology comes less privacy and freedom if you let it. Ask who's going to question artificial intelligence when that takes over. Artificial intelligence is going to have total immunity and access to all your data. Indiscretionary access. There is nothing it will not know about you. Are you ready for that? It's probably happening right now as we speak. Well, what is their perspective on all this from scientists? Well, there are thousands of scientists and doctors that are saddened at what has become a science. And here's just a few statements that they all can't be wrong, really. This is the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. This is the Reagan Stealth Institute, Indiana University School of Medicine. They said March 2022, so recently. They say healthcare technology continues to evolve and has the potential to significantly challenge the relationship between providers and their patients. Well, I'll say it sure will. And Daniel Swartz, Arizona State University School of Future Innovation and Society, he says science, the pride of modernity, our one source of objective knowledge, is in deep trouble. Most scientific findings are false or useless, end of quote. Well, that's right, it is. And The Lancet Journal, April 2015, said, a lot of what is published is incorrect. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue, end of quote. Mm-hmm. And then Richard Smith, British Medical Journal, July 2021, said, it is time to assume that health research is fraudulent until proven otherwise. End of quote. That's how you should look at it. That's how your doctors should look at it. There's nothing they can trust right now. And this is Barbara Redmond. She's the author of Research Misconduct Policy in Biomedicine, She says, it is not a problem of bad apples, but bad barrels, if not rotten orchards, end of quote. It's so prevalent, the corruption. It's so bad. It's an orchard of corruption now. It's almost like the Pied Piper, really, you know. We see a majority of the population going along with this dramatic shift, this far-reaching change, really, that it kind of reminds me of the Pied Piper. You know, play the flute, and they will come and blindly follow. But you know what? God owns the science and everything else. See? But science doesn't honor God, doesn't see God, doesn't want to see God. So God created the earth and everything in it. He created man, which is his inheritance. So, you know, trying to reinvent God's creation, you know, what God created, well, that's vanity. It's worthless and futile to try to do that. So as the world goes insane, we have to stay close to God and his principles and laws, because God has instructed us to use medicinal herbs along with food and spices for good health. So when we separate ourselves from God's truth, we deceive our own selves. So it's time we cling to the wellness God's medicinal herbs promise to provide us and avoid the deceptive babblings of the scientific world. See? So you want to call Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog. They'll send that to you. You'll find herbs for immune support, metabolic support, organ cleansing. And by the way, when you cleanse and nourish the system, it's a very old and healthy approach, but it's an old practice that has lasting benefits. Yeah, you actually find cures in those. So call Apothecary Herbs. You'll get a free catalog. You can go online and you can request one there at thepowerherbs.com. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., the number is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, thepowerherbs.com. And by the way, coming soon, they're going to have a new formula. More on that soon. And we'll divulge what that is shortly. Cliffhanger. No spoiler alert there. So we're going to talk about some other things in a minute. But you know what, Frank, by the way, I've been getting calls. This is interesting. Calls every day, a couple of them, thinking we're Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo. And I'm thinking, someplace online, somebody's got a typo, and they're calling our toll-free number. Well, a lady called today, and I said, you think we're Wells Fargo? How do you know, how do you think we're Wells Fargo? Where'd you get the number? It's on the back of the card. I said, what card? It's their credit card. Wow, that's a big mistake, isn't it, Frank? Heads will roll. Or it's either the number's correct and people are just seeing it differently. You know, I don't know, if the old cards where they were stamping the credit card number and on the back was the, you know, customer service number, if it got in one of those creases of the stamp number, it's hard to read it. You know, now they come out with the new cards. Have you seen the new cards? There's just like white flat lettering on the card, and it's on a dark, has a dark background, so they pop and you can read them. So people with, you know, vision impairments can read those. Oh, I'm long in the break. We got to take a little break, but we'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Here in Herb Talk. Wow, that's some of the guitar playing there, Frank. Well, we're going to be talking about some secret deals. And part of this information came from our lovely board op engineer, Frank. Frank, the magical engineer, Frank. So he gets some of the credit here. You know, people are kind of wondering what happened to America's healthcare system. You know, we had the Affordable Care Act come in, all that stuff. But we had a system that was, you know, touted as the best in the world and was relatively affordable to the masses. So Frank gave me this tip. And we were talking about the Affordable Care Act. But in 1973, the HMO Act, or the Healthcare Maintenance Act, was signed by President Nixon. So this turned the tides, really. Within 45 years, the system we call healthcare went from an accessible, nonprofit to more of a big profit margin making machine. So I thought we'd kind of cover the steps and how that worked. So, you know, politics is essentially its own religion, if you think about it, with the philosophy of what is yours is mine and what is mine, that's their religion. So why would President Nixon sign a bill that would make healthcare a corporate entity only interested in profits? Well, apparently Nixon performed a personal favor in signing the bill for Edgar Kaiser, president and chairman of Kaiser Permanente. So he founded that in 1945 in Oakland, California, and Kaiser has three independent groups or entities. It has the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan Incorporated, it has the Kaiser Foundation Hospitals, and Permanente Medical Groups. So he's got quite the span there, the tentacles, if you will. So in the Kaiser Corporation, there are medical insurance agencies, there's hospitals, there's clinics and doctors. So in 2014, the Kaiser Permanente, it operates in 8 states starting in 2014 and in the District of Columbia, making it the largest managed care organization in the United States. That was in 2014. It was also the first insurance company to get federal subsidies under the new law. So how did this work? Well, the abbreviated HMO means Health Maintenance Organization. And after the HMO Act was signed, it changed the nonprofits to MCOs, or Managed Care Option. So originally, the HMOs were these idealistic nonprofit organizations attempting to improve the delivery and care to patients they received while they were controlling healthcare costs. Now, after President Nixon signed the law, it authorized entities like Kaiser to create for-profit independent practice associations called IPAs, which contracted with individual physicians for services, and these were how they were compensated. Now, by 1980, the transition from your HMO to the MCO or the IPA was 80% complete, and 68% or less of the insurance premiums went to pay for actual medical care, and the rest paid for the executives and the salesmen's salaries. So what President Nixon did in signing the HMO Act is to change patient-friendly healthcare plans into profit-making plans for the insurance companies. Some states tried to enact laws to control the new plans and the expenses of them. However, the damage was well underway, and physicians were under pressure to get on board and get paid through the insurance providers and agreed not to inform patients of other treatment options, part of their contract. So this set the stage for that plausible reason to usher in government one-payer systems to combat the high cost of care in 2010. So politicians created the problem to sell you their solution. Well, and then, you know, we know about the White House Nixon tapes, you know, remember those? Because Nixon was a paranoid guy. He bugged his own office, and we have heard about the tapes with the conversations he had with other political criminals discussing the formation of the HMOs and corrupting the healthcare system for money. So what the tapes discuss is how the new healthcare plan for Kaiser would become a profiteering plan. And the Nixon included clauses in the law that encouraged medical doctors to withhold treatment options to save the insurance companies money. And this was all about managing the symptoms for your disease, not preventing it or curing disease, while they made a boatload of money. So the game plan was to put patients through hurdles of doctor visits and referrals that had to be approved first, tests and endless medications. So this gave the insurance companies endless power over denying claims and thereby their coverage for care while reaping the benefits of revenues via premiums and copays. So this pushed up the cost of your health care beyond economic projections. The next step was to not be as obvious with rejecting claims and to establish laws that allowed insurance companies to reject coverage based on pre-existing conditions or by jacking up your premium. So the consulting firm of McKinney and Company, they did an analysis and they basically followed the money trail. They concluded that the healthcare system the Nixon administration ushered in with the help of greedy insurance companies was actually costing Americans billions in excess administration fees, incentives that were, you know, rigged into the federal, you know, well, it's a federal scam where, you know, giving appropriate care was actually punished and denying care was rewarded. Now, in 1975, the RAND Corporation of Santa Monica, California, reported on the Health Maintenance Organization and the HMO Act of 1973. Here's what they said. The Health Maintenance Organization HMO Act of 1973 was heralded as a major federal effort to change the healthcare delivery system by providing an alternative to the traditional solo practice free-for-service system in the form of a group practice prepaid plan and health maintenance organization. So the HMO concept has been widely a favorable discussion, and the supporters, for example, have contended that your HMOs can provide total health care at lower cost than the free care for free care service case. One of the implicit aims of the act is to anticipate the passage of national health insurance with an alternative that has promise for controlling costs and assuring health care access irrespective of health status, income, or place of residence. Well, we see how that went, right? So you want to notice there's a hint of the coming Obamacare in that paragraph. You know, in their evaluation, they said by 1974, the new health care packaged care had more than 65 million enrolled, and we're told by the media that there were over 12 million enrolled in Obamacare. And there's another indicator that your HMO Act was a preliminary test run for the Obamacare down the road, an ultimate one-payer system run by your government. And here's what the conclusive paragraph by the RAND Corporation said. The purpose of the comprehensive scope of service is to maximize the full potential of healthcare cost control. However, the effect has been to force HMOs to cover services which are expensive and may not normally be purchased in the market. So the open enrollment and the community rating requirements were intended to demonstrate the effectiveness of the HMO concept in serving populations now and presently and to come. So the difficulty the HMOs are experiencing in meeting these requirements raises the question of whether the HMO is a viable approach to take in covering these populations and giving difficulty to the HMOs as they are presently concerned on wonders whether they could, in fact, be economically viable without their competitors. So the insurance companies are being required to operate under the same constraints, or the federal government continues to underwrite part of the cost of the HMOs through subsidies. This was really, really diabolical. Really. And oh, so much planning went into this. So much planning. And they're so patient about it, you know. Now, I personally prefer the natural therapies from the herb medicine options. That's my HMO. I've experienced that this option for almost 30 years, and I have found it very liberating, Very safe, very inexpensive, and packed full of results. Yep, no copay, by the way. And I'm not, you know, letting the political and medical criminals run my health options. That's just not happening. You want to, if you want to save allopathic medicine, save it for trauma care, okay? Because that's all it's really good for. Now, the healthcare system has for a long time been designed to take a patient's money and give treatments. They really don't intend to cure anything but manage the problem. So the medical definition of cure is to return you to the original state of well-being, right? Taking drugs the rest of your life, how is that getting you back to the original state of well-being when you didn't need any drugs? So when does allopathic medicine ever do that with the endless drug therapies? And then they lead you to surgery after that. Well, I say take the power back. And you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You'll have tools. You'll have information. And you have God's promise that his herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. I mean, that's the highest authority. We can't get any higher than that. And he created the herbs. He created man. So they go together. See how that worked? Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get their free catalog. You will be empowered. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. Oh, yes. I've been asked, are you going to have a Columbus Day sale? Well, since so many of you asked, probably. Yeah, so just check with us. Just check. You know, if you don't see it online, you give us a call. We'll be happy to tell you. So everybody loves sales. I love sales. I like sales. They really make my day. All right, so we got a few minutes. I want to talk about one of my favorite herbs, especially when it comes to cardio and blood. We're going to be talking about red clover for just a few minutes. Red clover, you see it in your yard. People think it's, you know, the clover, they kill it with chemicals. They don't like it in their grass. But red clover is powerful. Red clover, yeah, we consider it a weed. We consider a lot of things a weed. Dandelion, for instance. Dandelion, well, they found out it kills all forms of cancer. Windsor Medical University in Quebec, Canada, found that out in 2012. Check it out online, Miriam Pandy Research. And then we've got plantain, also American weed. People spray it, and that'll protect you from venomous bites. Powerful stuff. Really, really powerful stuff. So red clover has a very long history of medicinal use. So long, in fact, that pharmaceutical companies would be pretty jealous. So red clover is really one of those oldest agricultural crops. It has at least a 100-year-old track record for treating things like cancer and blood disorders and infections. It's been somewhat controversial, though, with your health authority. So the Greeks, the Romans, the Celts, they all used clover, and it was has a very long history of use, even in religious rites. So the Romans liked the three-leaf red clover because of the symbol of the Trinity. And the Irish, well, they made the three-leaf clover their shamrock symbol, and later it became a model for the suit of clubs in your playing cards. And in the Middle Ages, red clover was used by occult practices for mystical charms, and the church used it also to ward off a witchcraft. So, you know, there you go. You tapping into the medicinal stuff. But red clover blossoms, even Chinese medicine will use the herb. They make a lot of expectorants from it. They like it. So Russian folk medicine will also list red clover as a treatment for asthma. So red clover has been around, and it's been used by several cultures globally. It's been put into topical salves and help for skin sores. It's been put in eye ointments for infection. So down through the centuries, your red clover has gained a lot of uses, but it's really great, too, for inflammation issues. So it was used for diuretics, sedatives, cough suppressants, and, as we mentioned, cancer. So, but, you know, red clover did wiggle its way into white coat medicine, if you will. In the 19th century, naturopaths adopted red clover to use against pertussis, whooping cough viruses. So red clover seemed to have this ability to soothe the cough, and it was listed in the King's American Dispensary in 1898. So the clover has been listed as an excellent herb to use as a congestive type ailment for conditions like that, for coughs, bronchitis, tuberculosis, and so on. So the naturopaths endorsed red clover as an effective agent against the spread of cancer, and red clover was an ingredient in the famous Henry Hoxie's cancer treatment. Now, later in the 20th century, red clover was so popular as an ingredient in the patented medicines called trilinium compounds, which were used to treat skin disease like syphilis and TB. Now, red clover also remained in the national formulary, a pharmacist reference guide, until 1946. So it's a wonder it was even listed there, since the American Medical Association Council decided that red clover had no medicinal properties and benefits whatsoever around 1912. Nah. Now, today, a lot of naturopaths will use red clover externally for skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. So if they use it internally, it's really going to be for things they say like menopause and digestion and respiratory congestion. But a few enlightened healers will use red clover as a blood purifier to clear the blood of cancer cells. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep. Now, the FDA isn't worried about red clover, okay? They have red clover listed on their safe list with no side effects, and they claim red clover has no medicinal value whatsoever, which is in reality most likely means the opposite. Mm-hmm. So you want to you're not supposed to know that. And you're not supposed to know a lot of things, but I'm spilling the beans. And there's been studies, bukus of studies, on red clover. The world has studied red clover and its benefit, and it's just this little clover that kind of messes up everybody's yard each year in the spring and also in the fall. But researchers at the National Cancer Institute checked into red clover, and guess what they found? Red clover does have anti-tumor properties. They reported this. It was published in the Journal of the Natural Project, and Dr. Jonathan Hartwell conducted the research. So he was amazed to discover your red clover has been used by 33 different cultures for cancer, and this prompted his research. He looked into it. So Hartwell reported that red clover had 4 anti-tumor compounds and 2 phototessogenin compounds, Gentenstein is one of them, which he confirmed in red clover is used as an anti-cancer treatment. It's also something that helps with menopause, he says. So, interesting to say the least. What'd you say, Frank? Red clover is a black eye among other herbs? Is that what you're saying? I must not be reading that right. A-L-V-E? Is that what you typed there? Oh, sab. You misspelled. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has wound up in a lot of those treatments, for sure, topically, for all kinds of things. But there's more, though. Red clover contains, according to Hartwell, red clover contains... vitamin E, which is really a very powerful antioxidant. It prevents cancer, it keeps the cancer from spreading. It's great for things like heart disease. But red clover has an estrogen component to it. It's a compound that should not be used if the type of cancer you have is a hormone-dependent type or an estrogen-dependent type. That can aggravate the cancer if that's the case. So the isoflavone in the red clover helps reduce things like hot flashes in your menopausal women. And an Australian study tested red clover in 27 postmenopausal women, and it improved arterial elasticity, which suggested red clover may help prevent heart disease by about 23%. And this finding also was important since your heart disease is the leading cause of death in postmenopausal women. Now, again, the ancients knew their herbs, and they knew they worked. They may not have known the science behind it, but they knew they worked. A study showed that your red clover has antibacterial properties. It can kill tuberculosis bacteria. They said the red flags that you should be aware of is in concentration, you want to use red clover with your doctor's direction, naturopathic, obviously. And watch it if you have an estrogen-dependent cancer. You want to avoid it at that point. So use caution there. But they use it for all kinds of things. It's even wound up as a birth control in some writings. One study used lab mice, and it found that the red clover helped protect against gamma ray radiation. It was most likely because of the antioxidant effect in it. Research is also confirming your red clover does not interfere with the body's absorption of iron. So red clover is pretty benign and pretty, well, it's beneficial, but you don't have to worry about too many interactions with it. I wouldn't use it with prescription and over-the-counter stuff, but you can feel pretty lucky about your red clover. If you're going to harvest your red clover, obviously, it should be organic and not have any pesticides on it or herbicides or anything. But the time to – right now is the time to harvest it. When the red clover bud turns bright red, fiery red, because right now in the fall, all the medicinal property will leave the blossom and go down to the root. So I like red clover root. A lot of the times I'll use that. But the blossom right now, before it fades, has a lot of the medicinal property in it, so this is a great time to harvest that. But, the folks at Apothec Herbs include in several formulas for your benefit. You can check it out, get their catalog, or go to their website, thepowerherbs.com. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. I'm out of time, but the information presented is not intended to diagnose, protect, give you any benefit against disease. According to FDA, that's what they like me to say. You should seek a medical advice of a physician, licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.